Hello Facebook and hello Reddit and welcome aboard. My name is Captain Max and tonight we visit one of the many religious terror cells that dot the American landscape. These religious cells advocate racism, shame, and violence against the people. The residents, and this is one small village, one little village full of guns and hate and shame. It's an American tragedy, and it's moved forward by these religious cells to National Rifle Association, those nice Trumpers, all you guys with your guns and all of that kind of stuff. So tonight we're going to go visit, we're going to make a stop in Acworth, Georgia, with Dr. Susie. Good evening, Dr. Susie.
Good evening, Captain Max, and welcome aboard FDR, which is short for, of course, our 32nd president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, as well as Fuck the Rich. Yeah. So yeah, it's been a harrowing week. I mean, personally and socially, I guess you would say. I mean, so my own health has been on the brink, as those of you who know me can hear in my voice. I couldn't breathe on Tuesday. I went to a routine doctor's appointment, and my vital signs looked so bad that Doc sent me into emergency. And they did all these tests, including a COVID test and heart and all kinds of things, lungs. There I lay on the hospital bed after all the tests, wondering, do I have COVID? Have I had a heart attack? Why can't I breathe? Maybe it's the pneumonia that I've had 4 times. So while I'm doing this, I figure I will, you know, kind of take my mind off my troubles. And I scroll through the news. And there it is. Call it the Acworth Massacre. Or as the media often calls it, the spa shooting, which really doesn't convey the horror. The massage parlors massacre. The anti-sex massacre. Yeah. 3 Georgia massage parlors. Apparently committed by a 21-year-old Christian youth minister named Robert Aaron Long, claiming to suffer from, quote, sex addiction. And this is according to Atlanta Sheriff Jay Baker, who kind of acted like his PR guy, you know, or maybe his godfather or something. Actually, Jay Baker happened to have also posted some anti-Asian COVID shirts on Facebook, but I digress.
Sheriff.
He further goes on to explain in his press conference that Long was, quote, having a bad day. So he just decided to eliminate the, quote, temptation and slaughter 8 of his fellow human beings and put a 9th basically on life support. Whether you want to call it a hate crime or just devastating. It's horrific. Before I talk more about Long, I just want to take a moment to remember the people that really did have a bad day. The victims. And I apologize if I mispronounce their names, which I probably will, and because I've been reading them, I just want to say them somehow. So, this first name I can't pronounce at all. Exajitan. But she called herself Emily. And she was 49 years old. She was the owner of Young's Asian Spa. An amazingly strong woman, from what I've heard. A mother, a businesswoman, and also just warm-hearted, had many of the staff stay at her house, and always welcoming people. Then there was Dayu Fang, 44 years old, Sung Chung Park, 74 years old, Hyung Jung Grant, 51 years old, and she was a mother. Maybe the other ones were, I don't know much about them. But this one, Hyung Jung Grant, her son spoke about her and how wonderful she was. Suncha Chim, 69 years old, also died in the massacre. And Jung A. Yu, 63 years old. All these women, by the way, are 44 to 74 years old. Definitely older women. And then there was Delana Ashley Yawn, 33 years old. And she wasn't working there. She was actually there at one of the spas on a date with her husband. He was in another room, so he was not killed, but he is devastated by her loss. And then there were two men who were shot. Paul Andre Michaels, 54 years old, he died. I think he was working somehow there. And Elcias Hernandez Ortiz, who was just outside the building, he is now in critical condition. So I want all of us to talk about this, but I just want to say a few things about this horrific occasion. There are conflicting reports over just what went on at these spas. Clients and friends and relatives, most of them seem to insist that it was a quote-unquote legitimate massage business and that it did not involve sex work, which we tend to think of as, I guess, something that would involve the genitals. Emily Tan's patron and friend, Greg Hinson, who saw her for his stiff neck and upper back for about 6 years, he said, "You're coming here for a massage," he said, when a reporter insinuated that it was a massage with a happy ending. On the other hand, these places, all three of them, were listed on escort sites, and their storefront would have that bright light, that bordello kind of look. So I don't know. I'll talk about whether that matters in a minute, but obviously Long, the killer, told various people that he went to these spas to satisfy his, quote, sex addiction. And in the end of this very bad day, I don't even think it does matter whether they were massaging and healing people with or without happy endings. I mean, they were murdered. Because the murderer saw them as nothing but temptation for his so-called sex addiction. And I gotta say, I have long loathed this term, sex addiction, ever since I heard it in the 1980s, I guess, when the addiction movements were all the rage. Sex addiction is really meaningless. The other addictions, yeah, I can see cocaine addiction, alcoholism, of course, even gambling addiction, I can see that. But sex addiction, it's just wanting sex that is not acceptable to your community, your religion, your way of thinking of yourself. But it's not a diagnosis. It was rejected from the DSM-5, the most recent diagnostic manual published by the American Psychiatric Association, because sex addiction, and they have another term for it, hypersexuality, does not meet the criteria for an official psychiatric diagnosis. It's not a disorder. There's no science behind it. It's been debunked a gazillion times. But it's still a very popular term. Maybe more popular than ever. And it's used by the left. It's used by self-help fetishizing liberals. And it's used a lot these days by the religious right. As you were saying, Max, these cells are now glomming on to this. As well as, you know, the sex-phobic center that doesn't really want to deal with complexities, and they just like that term. I'm sure QAnon likes it too, and all the sex-negative ignoramuses on all the different teams.
To your question, Dr. Susan Block right now is talking.
Excuse me?
Oh, somebody asked who was talking.
Oh. Well, hello there, somebody. So... yeah, I'm talking about sex addiction, which is what the killer of these innocent people claimed that he suffered from. And I have to say, when people call each other sex addicts, which they do all the time these days, it's usually a bitter accusation of the foulest, most humiliating magnitude. It's what you call your son or your husband. I'm not saying you wouldn't call your daughter or your wife that, but it's usually directed against men. When you find, like, say, for instance, porn on their phone, like you say, what are you, a sex addict? Right? Now, for those of you who call yourselves sex addicts, well, I guess there's a number of reasons why you would do that, but I would say the most common reason I hear as a sex therapist, who's not much for sex addiction, but a lot of my clients do come to me saying, I'm a sex addict. So I find that it's often an excuse for just bad behavior, for why you cheated on your wife, for why you got a massage secretly, for why there's porn on your phone. Okay. Now, there are other reasons that have to do with religiosity, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I want to say, for these sex addictionologists, and that's what I call them because they're not really therapists, it's a racket. It's a way to make easy money from people's normal but painful sexual insecurities and weaknesses and other problems. And for non-sex addiction-oriented sex therapists like me, it's a pain in the ass to have to unravel a new client's brain from labeling normal human sexual desire that doesn't fit into the box of what they or their spouse or their religion or their mother thinks human sexual desire should be. They label it sex addiction. That takes care of it. And they can spend oogobs of money going to these sex addictionologists, you know, to try to heal themselves.
They charge more than we do.
Oh, yeah. And they're glomming on to this terminology that is so kind of seductive to our particular cultural sexual psychosis. So now the religious right. Well, to put it simply, it's a new term for sinner. See, calling someone a sinner just doesn't pack the same emotional punch that it used to. I mean, You call someone a sinner and, you know, they just say, hey, rock and roll, you know. People think it's funny or cool to be a sinner. Mm-hmm. But sex addict? Whoa. That's not funny. That's not cool. But it's a great way to shame a person for enjoying or just wanting sex or even just a massage without the happy ending. Something that's just a little different from married, monogamous, for procreation purposes only, in the dark sex that's approved of by these types of religions.
Before running out of rope.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the killer ran out of rope.
Yeah, the killer ran.
Had a bad day.
Sheriff, what are you doing over there?
So, yeah. So call a religious person a sex addict. And if you do it with feeling, you can just watch them fall to their knees in a puddle of shame and blame. Even if it's just a role play. And I've done those role plays just for quote unquote fun. But when they do it seriously, and I never do it seriously, it's devastating. But still, mass murder? Whoa.
Assassination.
I have to say, you know, that hit me while I was laying there on the hospital bed wondering if I was going to die. By the way, I'm not dying just yet, and my voice is pretty congested because I have pneumonia for the fourth time. I might have skipped this show, except this is just too disturbing. And to see this mass murder, just see it is disturbing, let alone to hear the excuse, the sex addiction made me do it. Defense. I can just imagine that that's going to be the defense. I don't know. But what a load of bullshit, malarkey, whatever. But it is the explanation or excuse for killing all these people. It's the one that was given by the sheriff, indicating that he kind of believes it. He seems to sympathize. You know, The Onion had it best when they said, yeah, of course, we understand what it's like to have a bad day and kill a bunch of people because that's what we do. Sometimes The Onion seems more real than the regular media. Anyway, he did seem to kind of sympathize with Long and understand well that, quote, temptation, there's a biblical term for you, can wreak havoc with a good man's mind. When he attributed Long's vicious slaughter of 8 fellow humans with a 9th on life support to his having a bad day. But, you know, it's not just the sheriff. And though Long himself is ultimately and legally responsible for all these murders, I guess I want to say I don't think it's just him either. I think it's that cell you were talking about, Max.
I think it's all of you, the whole community that shame children, that damage them.
Yeah.
That tell them stories of nonsense. And then they're broken.
And it does go on in different religious communities.
Oh, absolutely.
I've seen it go on in Jewish communities. I know it goes on in Muslim communities. I know strongly it goes on in Catholic communities.
Well, you have to keep the herd.
And it goes on in Hindu communities and Buddhist communities,
right.
Too.
Right.
But this happened to be an evangelical Christian community. And so it's a particularly all-American, you could say, form of psychosis. And it definitely feels like it was the community of, I guess, Ackworth, Georgia, or surrounding villages that all contributed to this mind state that made this guy kill 8 people. So let's start with his church. It's called the Crabapple Church.
Crabapple.
Quite a name.
All right.
Makes you a little crabby. makes you maybe have a bad day, that you kill a bunch of people. You're so crabby. So then there's also the bogus rehab centers, two of them. And then there's also the family who taught Mr. Long to love God and shun sex and shoot deer. So he just kind of got those things a little mixed up and shot some people that made him feel sexual. Now, when word got out about it, I noticed a lot of people on social media assumed that Long was an incel. And I know a little bit about incels. That's involuntary celibate. And I have to say, he kind of looks like the stereotype of an incel.
The old term was, you know, guys.
Bachelor?
It might have been bachelor or the fucking guy that can't get laid.
Can't get laid.
That's
right.
Mostly what it was.
Right. And we have had some terrible, terrible right. incel murders. And they are caused by a similar mentality, but it's a little different because, yeah, they're not having sex. This guy, according to himself, he was having sex. He just hated himself for having it. But actually, no, he didn't hate himself. Or maybe he would have actually killed himself, as he threatened to do. And I know I'm going to get into a little trouble for saying this, if anybody's listening. But I think that would have been better for everyone.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have a right to your own life. You don't have a right to any other creature's life.
Yeah. So he didn't kill himself. Because he didn't really hate himself. He loved himself, kind of like he loved, you know, what he said on his social media, God and pizza and guns. What he hated was his sexual self. Just a part of himself. Could be a small part, but it's really kind of a big part. His sexual urges and the women that he blamed, and yes, I guess, Asian women, for tempting him. Yeah, he just wanted to be a good Christian soldier, and he'd hunted deer with his dad, so why not just hunt down some of these temptresses?
Wow.
And whoever happened to be with them. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's all very sick. I got a lot more to say about sex addiction. I want to talk about Dr. David Lay, who is an expert on sex addiction, who I interviewed in 2012 about his excellent book back, you know, over 10 years ago, The Myth of Sex Addiction, which says that people that call themselves sex addicts and associate with the sex porn addiction movement usually suffer from sexual self-hatred. As I said, he hates the sexual part of himself, not his whole self. We were talking about this with a lot of passion 12 years ago.
And last night.
Well, I'm just saying, I wish
yeah.
that people would have heeded the warnings of experts like Dr. Lay that said, don't be using this. This is not a real thing, sex addiction. This is a dangerous...
It's a shaming.
...pseudo-diagnosis.
Yeah. It's a degrading of a human.
A public relations yeah. person probably came up with that.
Yeah, right. And well, you're all these Jesus free. You don't even know what Jesus taught. You don't know what he taught.
So speaking of how it came up, as Mariah said, maybe a public relations person, it was actually a prison psychologist who came up with this. And so he was working on people that were criminals, I guess, you know, in jail.
Right.
And he wrote a book called Out of the Shadows. And he came up with this theory of sex addiction. And it also happened around the scare of HIV in the 1980s, when everyone got very phobic about sex, and some of it for good reason, you know, unprotected anal sex and certain forms of rough sex could get you infected with HIV and AIDS, and that's a terrible thing. So you need to be careful. You need to practice safer sex. But people got very into the demonizing of sex, and I think that was partly as a cultural backlash to the sexual revolution of the 60s and 70s. They really kind of started in the 50s. But that was pretty much stomped out in the 80s with stuff like this. Sex addiction theory. Patrick Carnes, Dr. Patrick Carnes, he was a prison psychologist, and he kind of came up with this theory to mostly explain men's interest in sex that was not socially acceptable, kind of comparable to the idea of nymphomania for women that used to be popular, I don't know.
Yeah. We love that in the 50s. Where are they?
That is so true, the connection, all the same meanings and the different purposes for them.
Well, there was women.
Right. Well, nymphomania had a double meaning in that it sort of sounded like a hot woman, you know. But it was meant to demean women who desired sex or who came easily, who had lots of sex. They must be sick. They must be nymphomaniacs. Mm-hmm. Now, sex addict doesn't even have the sexiness of nymphomaniac. It just sounds like you're a poor, pathetic,
fucked up,
frustrated sexual fool. And maybe you are, but sex addiction is not really a disorder. It comes from people not fitting their round view of sexuality into the square box that society expects them to go in. And general society has a very square box. So, you know, evangelical Christian cells have an even squarer, more tiny box that you have to fit your sexuality in. So being gay doesn't fit in. Desiring more than one partner doesn't fit in. Having sex before marriage doesn't fit in. Having a fetish doesn't fit in. Even having sex for pleasure doesn't fit in. It's all considered now sex addiction. Something that the liberals came up with is now glommed onto by the religious right as the new term for sinner. That's going to send you to hell right here on earth.
I see so, it.
Hello. Hi. How you doing? Good?
Well, I have pneumonia.
Oh, I know.
But I'm
all right?
Gripped,
gripped
with sorrow.
Yeah.
And anger.
Yeah. And of course, this was a prison psychiatrist, of course. I know about prison psychiatrists, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been interviewed by several of them. And one of them one day says to me, I do my tests and like, I'm a genius. I got everything right. I could see which boxes had the bus and which didn't. And then he said to me at the very end when I was done, he says, that's very good. He says, you got to get out of here. They're all nuts.
Well, he was a nice prison psychologist.
Yeah. I got it. But it was great. Yeah, you're right.
We do have someone asking for the number to call in for some questions. So I'm going to interject real quick just to make sure everyone has our number to call in if you have any questions or want to talk to Dr. Susie and Captain Max. That is 626-461-5950. Again, 626-461-5950.
So I don't know if I'm inclined to talk to y'all about anything but this, but maybe, I don't know. I'm so upset about this. You might have to do therapy on me, you people. By the way, I know I've been talking mostly about the sex addiction, but it is also a crime of racism against Asians.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And
oh,
I
absolutely.
Think it's mixed. Not racially, but mixed meaning there's a mix of racism against Asians, and I think a lot of racist evangelical white Christian men, not all of you guys, but some of you kind of see Asian women as being sexually submissive and yet very powerful seductresses or temptresses, right? Mm-hmm. So I do think it is a mix. I think, you know, the increase in violence against Asians, it's all part of this. You know, Trump calling COVID the Kung Flu, come on. That has an effect on people. And just like he's blaming China, and there's attacks on all different kinds of Asians, Koreans, Thai people, Japanese people, and Chinese, all kinds. It's horrible. Similarly, the anti-sex views of the sex addictionologists and the religious right and the anti-sex worker views don't necessarily hurt only technical sex workers, but also masseuses who may not even be doing sex. I mean, there was a 74-year-old woman, not to say 74-year-old women aren't having great sex. Some of them are. And God us bless the ones that are. But I don't know what they were doing in aromatherapy and these places. But they were seen as temptresses, all temptresses. I sometimes am seen that way as a sex therapist, someone here to help you with your sexuality. I don't have sex with any of my clients. I hate to disappoint you, but I don't. But I'm seen, I know, I'm told this, as a temptress, and I try to help people to deal with that and parse that and get over that and not shoot up the neighborhood over that. It's not easy because our society encourages that. And these cells, they encourage it even more. They use it as a weapon. Yeah. And by the way, police did say that they caught Long as he was on his way to Florida to carry out another shooting against a business, I'm not sure what, but something that he said was tied to the porn industry. So, yeah, I see this as a crime against sex workers. I don't like the term hate crime, particularly because of the legal kind of sentencing aspect and how you just pile on more years by calling it a hate crime. Murder is murder. But I do see that if you're going to call this a hate crime, and I do think it was a hate crime against Asians.
Of course.
And I think it was a hate crime against sex workers also.
Yeah, and there was an, I believe, as we spoke last night, an economic, here are these aliens to come into this deep south, mm-hmm. in a little village that's been that way. They're racist. They've never left the village. And these people come who don't even look like them.
Yep.
Right, and they're educated, and they're educated, business-oriented.
And business, and they work hard, you know. And suddenly, that's an enemy, mm-hmm. of some sort. And then...
That's part of it.
Right, and then they have their hookers or so that entice you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, right? Pretty soon you're going to start buying their sneakers and eat their noodles.
And get their massages.
And get their massages.
They're healing... Wonderful massages. Whether or not they have a happy ending, massages heal the body, and the body is the temple of the soul. I mean, I know it's a cliche, but it's true. If there is a soul, it's hanging out in your body. And essentially, I see this horrific crime, the massage parlor massacres, as a perfect storm. A horrifically perfect storm of three things. One, sex addictionology. And we've talked about that. These were mostly liberal type people trying to make some cash on people's sexual weaknesses and problems that are really quite normal, especially in our society.
And that prison psychiatrist was probably nuts himself.
Oh, of course, they usually are.
I wanted to make more money or something.
So that's number one. Number two, religion, the religious cells, the anti-sex religion. And it's in all religions, but in this case, evangelical Christianity, and its particular what they call purity cult.
You're right, the purity cult. They're all pure.
They're all pure. That's what right. does pure mean? I don't even know. You know, 100% butter or... I don't know, but I guess it means you're not having any sex.
Well, that's one. That's the first
and
one.
And you're not having sexual thoughts either. You're not supposed to do that.
And not touching yourself. Don't ever touch yourself. Your mommy'll catch you.
So this kind of purity cult is also rather racist and sexist, but it's primarily anti-sex. But it combines all those things. And then the third factor, which we haven't really talked about, but it's a very important factor, and that is guns.
Ah, guns, yes, guns.
Amosexuality is what I call it. And it is especially applicable in this case because this dude who killed all these people, dude is too good a word for him. I don't know what to call him. Piece of shit. He hated every aspect of his sexuality, except his amosexuality. He learned to shoot with his dad and, you know.
That's right.
He loved that.
They went out there in the woods and they were shooting things.
And he got a gun
real fast on the
day of the murders.
All right.
He bought a gun faster than a woman can get an abortion in Georgia.
That's what I call freedom.
Whoa.
Woman to get an abortion has a 23-hour waiting period.
Damn.
You can kill within hours.
There's no wait to get a gun.
No.
In Cherokee County.
Of course not.
You can buy it easier than a bottle of beer.
No, not down there. Nobody's going to take those guns away from me. I'm telling you.
Georgia, it's an interesting place. It's kind of an epicenter of political, cultural, racial, and sexual tensions. And it just exploded.
Yeah.
I mean, they elected two Democratic senators, thanks to the amazing Stacey Abrams, in large part, Warnock and Ossoff. But there's also Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, the total nutcase we've talked about too much on this show. And just Republicans trying to prevent people of color from voting. Trump trying to strong-arm Georgia election officials.
The communists also do that. They try to keep their people from voting.
There you go. It's right. kind of this perfect storm
that
creates a perfect disaster. And so much sorrow.
Yeah, we have a commenter on Facebook, Lily Garnett, who also agrees that this was just an outrageous act of an evil mind.
Yeah, and it's a right-wing one. It's a stunted growth of culture. It's a stunted growth of knowledge. It's a stunted growth of Nazism.
Yeah, and it is right-wing. It's religious right-wing. Let's be specific.
Ain't liberal like me.
Well, but we have to say that we have a part in this.
Oh, yeah, sure.
As liberals, because this term, sex addiction, came from the liberal base, I guess. It's been used by liberals. It's used by so-called therapists who really are no help to people, but I call them sex addictionologists. So we all have a part in this,
and we all have
to help each other heal.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do right now. I'm telling you, you can touch yourself. I don't know what anybody else told you.
Well, certainly you can touch yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if this gets you off. I mean, you're a sicko if this gets you off. But go ahead and touch yourself.
If you can't come, you should call a doctor or someone to see
why. And by sicko, that's just a funny thing. That is not a diagnosis, okay?
This is,
We have a good point made on Facebook. It says, in a way, I feel most people are sex addicts. I mean, what's the longest you've ever gone without an orgasm? That's a good point.
That's a very good point.
Okay. So that if most people are sex addicts, which I agree, then sex addiction does not exist.
Right. I mean, they're not.
It's most people. It's normal. It's a normal way to be. And the word addiction implies a problem, implies you got to cure this, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
if you have a drug addiction, you'd better cure it, right? You'd better not take drugs. But when you have a sex addiction, what are you supposed to do? Not have sex? I mean, I don't like the whole food addiction concept either. That makes no sense to me.
That's a good business.
Because food is essential to life. And sex is essential to life. That's like having a breath addiction, which, you know, I'm struggling with right now. So
Dr. Susie's not has pneumonia. Walking pneumonia.
That's walking pneumonia.
That's how, like, she got here.
I should sing it to the tune of Waltzing Matilda. We'll go walking through the pneumonia with you. Anyway, this is really, really disturbing. And it's also kind of disturbing, although understandable, that the mainstream media does not want to acknowledge the hatred of sex, the hatred of sex workers that this killer has expressed. They're right in the sense that, yeah, the police chief was kind of a buffoon being the mouthpiece for this guy. Yet, they're kind of trying to sideswipe that. I mean, you know, Biden and Harris, they did nice speeches about their standing with the Asian American community, and I'm all for that. I too stand with the Asian American community. I live in an Asian American community. It's very important. But there is the sex element, and that is not considered by most of the mainstream media. I did read an article that's an exception by Tracy Kwan, who you may know. She was the author of Diary of a Manhattan Call Girl, bestseller, and some other books.
Yeah.
And she said that this is a hate crime against sex workers. She says, quote, "Race is public and sex private, but the Atlanta shootings have upended this arrangement. Racialized feelings are beginning to look like more of a taboo than sex. Sexual obsessions. The killing of an Asian American is described as a hate crime, while killing a sex worker is seen as a mental health issue. The Scarlet R demotes Nathaniel Hawthorne's Scarlet A to a venial sin, now standing for masculine addiction rather than female adultery. Racism is stigmatized while sex is pathologized." I know, that's a brainful.
That's a brainful.
That's heavy, a funny man.
Word. And she's a hooker, you know, and she, I mean, you know, some of these hookers are geniuses,
wow,
I tell you. No,
heavy.
It's very, very important stuff she's saying. I recommend you read her piece.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have food addiction and just go start shooting at McDonald's, you know?
Well,
no. Yeah,
you know
still
what?
Not a solution.
There have
yeah.
been people shooting up McDonald's,
and their defense is that is like,
I was hungry. I mean,
hungry.
I don't know.
I love McDonald's. I didn't have any money.
I
Fuck
didn't have
you.
A mask.
Give me the hammer.
And they wouldn't let me in without a mask.
The
so
Jack
I'm
in the Box
them.
Worker just was stabbed. I think
really?
Twice. I
wow.
think yesterday.
Really?
That. Yeah, because he asked someone to leave because they didn't have a mask on.
Well,
that was Jack in the Box.
I think the mask was
the critical
variable in that situation.
But still, it's dangerous.
But it's still, that's not right. You shouldn't do that.
Well, nobody is blaming food addiction for those murders. Yeah. But this guy and the sheriff are trying to blame sex addiction for these massage parlor murders. And I think what Tracy Kwan is saying is that if you're going to murder somebody, you can't use your sexual problems as an excuse. Or you shouldn't be able to use your sexual weaknesses or biases as any kind of defense. But that is what has been used, and it looks like that's the excuse here. More likely, amosexuality. I would say this guy suffers from amosexuality because no other form of sexuality was acceptable to him, to his community, to his concept of God. Only his eroticized feeling for his gun, his substitute penis. Shout out to Goddess Soma Snake Oil and the Sex Workers Outreach Project for a beautiful condolence piece to all the victims. And yeah, I want to just talk a little bit more about the story, but just want to set the scene. The first spa that was shot up was Young's Asian Massage. And this happened to be located very close by to the Evangelical Treatment Center where Long spent time as a patient for sex addiction, called Hope West. Yes. That's HOPEQUEST. Yeah, look it up and try to send them a piece of your mind.
No, I tried to look them up. I don't see any licenses.
They took their website down.
I went to the Corporation Commissioner to see what was going on with them.
Anyway, I researched them a little bit, and they have ties to major evangelical institutions, right, including Focus on the Family, and they have promoted ex-gay therapy.
Yeah.
Gay conversion therapy.
Retraining centers, in essence, like the Chinese have.
The idea
re-education.
That people can become straight through counseling or something. I don't know if I'd call it counseling. I would call it torture.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, Long, he grew up in this conservative Southern Baptist church, the Crabapple Church. He was a patient at Hope Quest in 2019 and again in 2020. And according to his former roommate, Tyler Bayless, most evangelical churches teach that sex is only permissible within marriage. And that Long suffered tremendously from his desires, whatever they were. And he blamed these massage parlors for those desires. Now, Hope Quest did write on, I guess it was their website, I don't know if they took it down, quote, although most men struggle with lustful thoughts, acting on those thoughts, whether through fantasy and masturbation, excuse me, I just want to say, when you're fantasizing, you're not acting on your thoughts. You're just fantasizing.
That's
but
right.
they seem to think that that is acting. Although most men struggle with lustful thoughts, acting on those thoughts, whether fantasy and masturbation, using pornography or actual contact with another person, is always hurtful to God and damaging to the marriage. The struggle with sexual thoughts and behaviors becomes problematic when a man chooses his sexuality to attempt to meet needs for nurture, comfort, solace, significance, and security.
And
outside
penis.
Of the marriage. This is the message that
yes.
Long was receiving. He was
sure.
Bayless's roommate at Maverick Recovery, another place. This one was more of a general addiction place, a sober living facility in Roswell, Georgia. And he was there in between his stays at Hope Quest. This guy was in and out of all these sex addiction evangelical purity rackets.
This guy was going to massage parlors. He was drinking.
And going to massage parlors.
He was jerking off, and everybody's calling him names. His whole neighborhood doesn't like him because he goes to the massage parlor. You know, it's like a mess. This is a rotten little city.
Bayless was there trying to recover from alcoholism and drug addiction. Okay, I kind of get that. His roommate was Long, who was there for this quote-unquote sex addiction. And Bayless says he was militant about it. Well, right there, you got a problem when you're militant about anything to do with sex. Quote, this was the kind of guy who would hate himself for masturbating, would consider that a relapse. He felt he was living in sin. Right? Sin, sex addiction, same thing for him.
So every time...
Not walking in the light, he was walking in
darkness.
So, interestingly, residents at Maverick were encouraged to hold each other accountable. And so they would sort of confess to each other. what they did or thought. And Bayless says that at least three times Long called Bayless into his room so he could confess his sins of sex addiction. Bayless said Long would come back from a spa and then call him into the room. And he would say, oh, I'm thinking of committing suicide. Like I said, oh, that would have been better, guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, he would say, quote, I'm falling out of the grace of God and my pastor.
Hey, women.
Yeah.
We have a couple Reddit comments.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have MBH1975 saying, deep down, he probably wanted a rub and tug, but felt too much shame. And
well,
we
yeah.
have Dickface McGee back. Welcome back, Dickface McGee. I know you've been joining us
regularly. He sounds like a sex addict.
Yeah.
He says, I guarantee that guy loves his Fox News and alt-right radio. What does the right think will happen when all they do is spew hate and paranoia 24/7?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this guy was into all that. I don't know. I do know that he was so nervous about looking at porn that he didn't even use like a smartphone. He used a flip phone.
A flip phone?
Right, so that he wouldn't look at porn.
You get better positions that way too, you know.
Yeah, right.
Flip phone. Wow.
Yeah, so.
I mean.
Here's a statement from Crabapple First Baptist Church, which acknowledged on its website that it was devastated and grieving over the deaths, and also acknowledged that the Long family had been church members for many years, and that Long was a member. But the church has said that his actions directly contradict his confession of faith. Well, I would have to disagree with that. I think they go right along with his confession of faith. No pun intended, Mr. Long. But in other words, the Crabapple First Baptist Church takes no responsibility for this. In fact, they say, quote, he alone is responsible for his evil actions and desires. The women that he solicited for sexual acts are not responsible for his perverse sexual desires, nor do they bear any blame in these murders. Well, I would agree they don't bear any blame at all, but here you go slipping in the word perverse sexual desires, and you say you have no responsibility. How dare you? You are probably training young murderers right now. You know, this toxic temptress mentality. And yeah, it's sometimes against men because, you know, sometimes it's because you have gay desires. Although sometimes guys that have gay desires actually blame women because somehow the women are at fault that they don't turn them on enough because they're really gay.
Yep. Wow.
So, you know, anyway, you blame your shame on the tempter or the temptress. And if you're amosexual, it's a disaster waiting to happen. That's right. So,
yes.
I don't know. I'm just pretty upset about this. But I guess I'm going to do a little plug. if you're a victim of religious sexual abuse, give us a call. We are not sex addictionologists. But we might just be able to help you. So this is basically what's been preoccupying me all week, other than my pneumonia. Although the morning of my attack, as well as these attacks, kind of nice thing happened. Colibri Tere Sonnenbaum, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name right either. He posted our interview about the Bonobo Way for Radio Free Sunroot on Voices of Nature and Peace. You can listen to it. I still and always believe that the bonobo way is the way out of this. Bonobos respect sexuality, empower the females. The males are treated well. There are no incels in Bonoboville. There are no sex addicts, although I guess sex addictionologists might say that bonobos are the sex addicts of the jungle. But they don't kill each other. They show us that an acceptance of sexuality, that a channeling of these feelings into touch, into massage. Bonobos love massage. And yes, genital activity too. That is the key to keeping the peace. And I firmly believe that we can do all the efforts we want to try to make peace, but if we don't accept our sexuality, we won't make it. But we should try the other ways too. You know, not just accepting sexuality, although that I think is like one of the most important things, but, you know, trying to be nice to each other. Like, I don't know, I want to give props to Biden for a lot of things. You know, Biden's pretty cool. He might take a few trips before he gets up the stairs, but he has encouraged us all to get vaccinated, and we got vaccinated for the second time. Right. And America is actually finally in the lead on a good thing, which is getting vaccinated.
In about a month and a half.
So that's a beautiful thing. We got our second shot. Of course, now there's 541,000 dead of COVID. That's over 10,000 more than last week in America. But we're leading in vaccines. And so that's really great. But I have to say, Biden, Joe, don't be calling our so-called enemies, who are really also fellow human beings, you know, a killer. I mean, maybe an assassin. But when he called Putin a killer and Putin said, it takes one to know one, well, that's pretty spot on, because after all, Biden has supported
pretty much
all of our wars. And, you know, these have killed a lot of people. And yeah, I guess Biden's not an assassin, but Trump was. He assassinated somebody.
Part of the power is the immense power that you have, the power to kill. Mm-hmm. You're God. I don't like you.
I'm hoping that we can get along. I mean, Putin doesn't deny that he is a killer, and it's terrible. But the hypocrisy of Biden calling him one without acknowledging that all U.S. presidents are too, I mean, I don't know. No, I don't support Putin. He is a KGB agent.
Yep.
And he always will be.
And he doesn't support us, and we don't support him.
Mm-hmm. But I don't want to see another Cold War. I don't want to see another hot war, because we'll all die.
No hot wars, please.
Over
hot sex.
Either guy's amosexual ego, please. So you guys, calm down a little. Why don't you have sex with your wives or girlfriends or boyfriends or whoever you got to do it with, and stop calling each other names, and let's settle down. We've all got a lot of nuclear weapons.
Well, Fania has been listening.
Hi, Fania. Oh, Fania.
She's been around.
Hey.
And look at that.
Love Fania. Fania's been to our show.
Our minds.
Mooka hit it movies. He's been all over our Facebook chat saying how much he loves you.
Yeah.
And
he's been all over it. Did he clean up after himself?
No, he didn't clean up. He's been all over. He's participating. Thank you so much for
that's
joining
very
us.
Nice.
He's
that's very nice.
He's returning back as a listener. So thanks for checking in.
So
and
he wants
to work here, and
he wants us to
call him and text him. Why don't you call us? Because we want to help.
Who's this?
This is on Facebook. Mooka Hit Movies. I don't want to say it wrong. I'm sorry if I'm saying it
that's
wrong.
Okay.
Oh, I see. I want to ask you something. I want a job.
To put it mildly and directly. What I need is
I love you very much. Thank you, Mooka Hit Even Movies.
We appreciate that.
We appreciate your love.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a job for us, maybe? Because we're not doing that well.
But he wants a job is the main thing. Yeah, well, you know, that's one way to get a job with me is telling me you love me.
You know,
but it's not the only thing. You have to do a little more than that.
Right. I'm going to start every interview with that.
And then you have to think about the consequences if your mother finds out that you work here.
Will she call you a sex addict?
Right. Will you become
just
a sex addict?
Just for being associated
and
with
we'll, us. And will there be conflict within the relationship?
My mom knows I work here. She thinks it's awesome.
Well, I think that's cool. But no, a lot of people, my God, you know, never heard of them. I worked here 20 years, but never heard of them.
By the way, I want to give a shout out to a fellow sex therapist, Veronica Monet, who is a former sex worker. I mean, I guess escort. And we've had her on the show, and we talked about sexual shaming.
Right.
And she has been posting a lot of good stuff that I've been getting a lot of information.
This is a direct result of that shaming.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And she's also a big proponent of bonobos and a friend of our mutual friend, Sally Cox, who helps to save the bonobos. I see this as all very connected in my own way. So what else is happening? Well, Armie Hammer, he's being investigated for rape. This is nothing to do with barbecuing your toes and eating them. Although maybe it is, I don't know. But the woman who was testifying against him didn't mention anything to do with cannibalism. She just said, she was crying. She was very upset about his treatment of her. We will see what happens. Her name is Effie. That's the name she's using. And she's represented by, guess who?
Let me guess.
Gloria Allred.
Hi, Gloria.
We've had Gloria Allred on the show.
She's
remember?
Been on the show. Well, right.
She was on when...
But we had to do it. We couldn't do it in the bed.
During the whole OJ trial.
Right. Oh, that's
awesome. Yes, she didn't want to do the show. This was when I was doing all my shows in bed. And she said, I can't do that. So I did it in a chair for Gloria.
In a chair,
that's
right.
Fair.
And it was
that's
a very good show.
Good
in
compromise.
The penthouse. That was in the penthouse.
Yeah, we should post that one.
Overlooking the Playboy Mansion, actually.
Ooh, I love
which was kind of cool.
Had good times there.
So Armie and his people, of course, say these were all kinky consensual acts. So it's kind of...
They probably were. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to say probably anything. I want to just say I don't know.
I said that.
I know you did.
You
so
didn't
it
say
wasn't
that.
Me.
Okay.
But I will say that I think it's frightening to see these two things kind of overlapping. Because one of them is criminal, rape, of course, and any kind of sexual assault. And the other thing is consensual BDSM and kink. And these things are being kind of merged in the way that people are talking about them. And I just want to put out the message that they are very different. And
is Smokey still on the phone?
Smokey. Okay, so I guess...
Hey, we should say
hi to Smokey.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no, you can't say that anymore.
I think
comrades.
Comrades.
Comrade Smokey.
Ladies and gentlemen,
comrade
everything in between.
Comrade Smokey Binion.
Comrades
from
near and far.
Texas.
I'm starting to like that. I think we should have the Bonobo villages, and we have special language. Right?
Hey, Smokey, are you there?
Smokey.
I'm still here. I'm just listening, Abe.
Hey.
Turn them down a little bit. How you doing?
You're just fine.
You're doing fine? What are you doing down there?
Oh, trying to, you won't believe this, but we went from having tornadoes to 80 degree weather and snow all in 1 week.
That's called climate change, Smokey.
Oh,
and
shit.
I know that's almost a dirty word. In your neighborhood, but I think it's climate change.
That's what I call living in the Texas Panhandle. You don't like the weather hanging around, then it'll change. It's been like that for years.
Okay.
All right.
So did you want to ask us something or tell us something, or did you want to comment on these murders?
Do you know about the murders? All these?
How could you not know?
I just wanted to say hello to some very dear friends.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
So you have a good time, whatever you're doing. If all you wanted to say was hello, then we wish you well. And that's it. All right. So Mariah should say something, though, because I know Smokey's kind of sweet on Mariah.
Hey, Smokey. Good to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in.
And I know Smokey's also from one of these type of villages in Texas. And since you called the show, I feel that I can say this. If you were speaking to me privately, of course, that would be a different matter.
Yeah.
But you're from a pretty religious area, aren't you?
And what now?
Are you from a conservative Christian neighborhood?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. All right. Well, you be careful, Smokey, you know, because it's dangerous in those places.
Yeah. Better watch out with those.
It's dangerous everywhere, but I think particularly there. So you just watch out for the ice storms and the Christian amosexuals.
And okay? the gossip. Of who's doing what to who, whom.
Don't let anybody ever call you a sex addict.
Okay, I appreciate that. But so far, they haven't.
Good.
That you know of.
Wow. Good deal. Okay, that's good. That's good. All right, Elvis.
Wear a mask.
If they ever open thing, if they ever open stuff up, Dr. Susie, I look forward to coming out there and shaking the leg again for you guys.
Shaking the leg. Whoa.
There's that sex addict talking again.
Oh, my God.
Just getting smoky.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we like to be funny. And we use a term like sex addict, which is a terrible term, but it's...
With love.
Almost like, I don't know if I should say this, but, you know, when when people of a certain ethnic or racial group use a slur amongst each other, it's kind of okay and kind of releases tension. So for people like us to say, oh, you're a sex addict or I'm a sex addict, it's kind of like that. We don't mean it. We're just being funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're just being funny. But you... Not being funny when you tell your kid.
Oh, when you tell your kid.
No, that's not funny. That's
or your spouse. No,
that's child abuse. It's a different kind of child abuse. Not whacking them with a branch, but whacking their head for the rest of their life.
Whether you call them a sex addict or a sinner, it's wrong. It hurts them. It makes them feel desperate. And that's no excuse for them to commit a crime. No. And I think that Long's parents feel very good about themselves that they reported him. And I'm grateful that they reported him. Because they were on their way to, he was on his way to shoot up a porn business of some sort in Florida. And yet, I have to agree with one of the victim's children. Again, sorry if I mispronounce the name. Let me just find this story here. Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. So we're all sitting
going to right now.
The train right now is going to.
Where are we headed?
We're headed towards a little village. It's full of racists.
Yep. I know exactly where we're at.
Okay. I got it here.
You got it?
So okay. the young man's name is Randy Park, and he did an interview. His mom, Hyun Jung or Jung, I don't know, Grant, was killed at Gold Spa. And he does not buy into the sex addiction explanation. In fact, he says, quote, "That's bullshit." My question, he says, to the family, and he means the Long family, is, what did y'all teach him? And he says y'all, because he's from Georgia.
Yeah, right.
He's an Asian Georgian. So he says, did you turn him in? Because they did turn him in, and that's good that they did that. But he says, did you turn him in because you're scared that you'll be affiliated with him?
A sex read a murderer.
You just gonna scapegoat your son out, and they just got away scot-free? Like, no, you guys definitely taught him some shit. Take some fucking responsibility. End of quote from the son of one of the victims.
Wow. Yeah, take responsibility. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if they will. I it doesn't seem they are so far.
Now I'm going to shame you, okay? Stop it.
Well, if there's anybody that should
Stop
be
the
shamed,
killing.
It's a murderer.
Yeah.
And the people that...
Who brought him up.
Brought him up.
Sorry. You know.
Now, not saying that every parent is responsible for their child's crimes. And many, many times you get the quote-unquote bad seed or children that just are nuts or whatever. And it's not the parents' fault.
I only have one like that.
But in this case, it just seems like the parents who taught him to love God, shun sex, and shoot deer, that they had a big hand in this. And so did the church, crab apples. And so did these addictionology evangelical centers. They all had a hand in this. And so does our society that looks down on sex workers, that denigrates sex workers, that conflates sex work with sex trafficking. Consensual sex work is not trafficking. Trafficking is terrible. Nobody likes trafficking. It's slavery. And it exists in all different professions. Usually the low paid ones. Not usually. You're not usually a trafficked corporate CEO. I grant you that. But, you know, there are trafficked people cleaning people's houses. There are trafficked people working in fields. There are trafficked people working in sex. But to conflate consensual sexual activity and sex work with sex trafficking is, it's murderous. First of all, it endangers the sex workers because everybody's afraid to let sex workers advertise anywhere, so they can't screen their clients. They have to go in the street, you know, various issues. And they're busted by police, by guys like this Sheriff Jay.
Fear of arrest, always.
Always. People that, you know, call them temptation, you know. And it seeps into all of our mentalities. The fact that nobody wants to say whether there was sex work going on at these places, these massage parlors. And I do understand why friends and family don't want to say that if there was, because, hey, they could get in trouble, or they could just simply be looked down on. They could be taken not so seriously. And so I understand that. And that is a terrible mentality. It's a toxic anti-sex and anti-sex work mentality, and it's got to stop. And I don't know if it can stop, but we have to do what we can to reduce it.
Here.
Yeah, it's one of our responsibilities.
Yes.
Yeah. So we got a great comment on the Facebook chat, and this is from Adriana. She said, "The apple doesn't fall far from the tree."
And in this case, the crab apple.
The crab apple.
Yeah. That's true.
Yep.
You know, I mean, like I said, it's not always the parents' responsibility for what their kid does. But, hey, you know, you're bringing up your kid to hate himself or hate the sexual side of himself, and there's going to be trouble. So, you know, it's not easy to bring up kids. I acknowledge that. But everybody's involved. It's not just the parents. It's the church. The parents are probably victims of religious sexual abuse. I would imagine they were brought up with that too. I want to quote the late, great Jack Morin, who was a sex therapist. He says, quote, "Calling sex an addiction has an unmistakable tendency to instigate or escalate fighting with one's sexuality. This I can say for certain. If you go to war with your sexuality, you will lose and end up in more trouble than before you started. I have never seen a single exception to this principle."
Wow.
Powerful.
True.
Very nice.
Very true. And very I can true. Say very that true. As yeah. a sex therapist. Yeah. Yeah. When
I definitely see that point, yeah.
When people fight their sexuality.
It's like fighting against breathing.
They hurt themselves. Now, that doesn't mean you have to act on all your sexual impulses.
No.
You might have an anti...
It depends.
People impulse. You might have stereotypes. You might have criminal fantasies. But I think it's important to acknowledge them And then you decide, you know, what am I going to do? Just keep that in my head. Maybe go to a therapist. Maybe go to a dominatrix. Maybe go to an escort. Maybe role play this with a friend or my wife or husband or something.
Or your hand.
Or your hand, right. But to just say, I don't feel this way. This is not me. No, no. Sorry, you do feel this way. Your feelings, you can't control them. You can control your actions. But when you try to be the thought police on your own thoughts, there's just going to be a massacre. At least within you, and maybe, hopefully not, but maybe in the world, outside of you, you know, if you've got that perfect storm of anti-sex, religion, psychobabble, and guns.
And so, we have about 9 minutes left. So that was very nice. That was great. I love that, that monologue.
Monologue.
We have another comment real quick. The right needs a villain, and sex workers have long just been their go-to bad guy or comrade.
Yeah. The right needs a villain, and okay. And, you know, I've never been on the right, and I'm on the left, I guess. And I have to say, you know, the left is more my family. And so I have to speak to my family. I have to speak to fellow leftists and liberals.
Absolutely, well, yeah, we do.
And I have to say to you, and my cousins and brothers and sisters and lovers and sinners of the liberal side, don't be anti-sex and don't be anti-sex worker, because look what happens. Because I don't think that the left is in solidarity. The left is all about solidarity, but yet they leave sex workers high and dry when they say, workers unite. What about sex workers? There were people on the left and the right that signed this so-called anti-trafficking law, Sesta Fosta. There were people, you know, on all sides, except the sex side, except the side that acknowledges we are sexual beings, and that we, when we fight with our sexuality, we lose.
So, we've been talking about murder and mayhem and secret cells, religious secret cells, right?
Yeah.
And we've been talking about how to bring up your kid without shame. There is nothing wrong with touching your toe, okay?
And by the way, you know, right now the left and the liberals are all into this Me Too. And hey, Me Too. I'm all for female empowerment. I'm against
No matter what I say.
Non-consensual sexual activity of any sort. But I have to say, you guys, you know, you got to give something to people's sexual desire. You got to say, here's what you do when you have these desires. Nobody's saying that. They're just saying, don't do this. If you do this, you're going to be canceled. You're going to be censored. You're going to lose your job. You're going to go to jail. Okay, I got it. I get it. It's all, I'm not against any of it. But I am saying you got to go the bonobo way. And the bonobo way is female empowerment, female solidarity. But it is also male well-being. Guys have to be taken care of. Women, too. We all need to be taken care of. We all need touch. These people that were running these massage parlors, whether they were giving happy endings or not, they were providing something that is so important to human well-being, to male well-being and female well-being. There was a couple there. And that's touch. That's healing touch. And
Okay.
We got to acknowledge that, we people on the left. I talk about that in my interview with Robbie Martin on the Media Roots show. But I guess I don't feel I can talk about it enough. You know?
And think about yourself and what you're doing with yourself. You know? To find yourself in some way. To say it's okay. You know? You notice there's not a lot of blind people running around.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some, but not a lot.
Yeah.
So you're not going to go blind.
Yeah. And just a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, honest.
Yeah, so that was the old saying. They would say you masturbate and you go blind, or you grow hair on your palm.
Yeah.
Now they kind of don't say that, but they say you're a sex addict.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, that's worse than being blind.
Yeah.
You know, that's like such a humiliation.
Yeah. We have a couple more comments real quick that I could get in real quick.
Sure.
We have Adriana saying, I remember that I had to sit through a woman's church retreat years ago called Girls Struggle Too, and they had to sit in a circle and listen to some of the girls confess what their struggles were. We have Harry saying, yeah, I remember in my church the preacher talking about that if you even fantasize about sex, you are sinning and will burn in hell. That is traumatizing. Yeah.
Now I just want to add something real quick to that. My family was lucky many years ago to have its own chapel and its own priest on the property. But they had to keep letting them go because they would masturbate in the confessional. Things change, you know.
The hypocrisy.
The hypocrisy stays the same.
The hypocrisy is always there. I mean, all these religious leaders are often found out to be having some sort of illicit sex with somebody. And
us too. Individually, all of us.
Well, the thing is, we don't all preach against sex.
No, I don't.
But the
preachers
are often revealed to be the sinners.
Yeah.
And then they play this game, well, but I'm going to trust in Jesus, and then, okay. And I'm sure that's what this guy thinks on some level. He thinks he's going to be forgiven by Jesus when he goes to the pearly gates because he's going to study his Bible while he's in jail or something like that.
Jesus is going to look at this bum and go, yo, man.
Hey, don't you know Jesus loved the hookers?
Yeah, Jesus loved the hookers. And you killed some humans.
Some humans, some beautiful humans. Yeah. Really, I was looking at their pictures.
So,
I mean, I'm not saying physical beauty is all there's things about, but these women, older women, beautiful.
And I'm going to call God later, right as soon as I get off the show. And make sure that he has your name and stuff. And St. Peter's up there, too. That when you give your name, you'll be blocked.
But this guy is
canceled.
You know, Satan is too good for this guy. I think this guy should just be...
Purgatory.
Purgatory, yeah.
Purgatory, where you don't know what the fuck's happening.
That's forever. Yeah. Eternal purgatory.
Right, eternal purgatory.
Anyway, you know what? I don't want to put too much about what to do with this guy.
Be nice to him. Don't shoot him. No, that's important. Somebody might come along and shoot him because he shot them, and then the whole town will be shooting at each other like they're doing in Texas. All these towns, everybody shooting each other in bars.
Yeah.
I don't like the way you look at me. Take this.
Revenge should not be taken violently. I do understand revenge, but take it in a different way. And maybe the best revenge is to change this culture. That sounds very radical.
To change yourself.
And it starts with you. It starts with you, and it starts with your family and your friends and your fellow church or synagogue or mosque or temple members. It starts with you all just not blaming sex for all of your problems.
Because we've got nothing to do with it.
And sex workers.
Yeah.
And sex therapists. Right. And massage therapists.
Right.
And people that are in a business. You know, this is capitalism. We want to fuck the rich, but at the same time, we got to earn a living.
I also want to shout out to the Sanctuary.
Yes.
And their fund me. They need money.
They need money. Yeah. Well, they're suffering in the suffering, corona apocalypse.
Yeah, they're suffering.
And we love them.
A lot of people are suffering. We love them.
We put on DomCon with them. I'm supposed to be mistress of ceremonies this year. Yeah. Hopefully they will be able to have it in person.
And I'm supposed to be the cameraman.
Me too.
I'm supposed to be
you're a sexy cameraman.
An event goer.
Event goer.
Anyway, yeah, we love everyone at Sanctuary and DomCon, and very often these dominatrixes are actually wonderful sex therapists helping their clients deal with this religious sexual abuse that they've been through and helping them to work out their problems and confusion. You know, it's not just the so-called clinical psychologists that can help you. In fact, sometimes they can't. You got to find a therapist that you have chemistry with, basically. It's a certain type of relationship.
But you, with a therapist, yeah, but you have to wait 2 years before you can have sex with a regular therapist.
You're joking.
No.
Yeah, well,
it's
I mean,
true.
Yeah, I get that, sort of. I mean, I don't have sex with my clients, although I do have phone sex.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I believe in phone sex, in all forms of sexual communication, webcam sex, texting, sexting, to express yourself, to open up, to release some of these demons. And
that you have.
As well as to just release pleasure. Because very often real life doesn't have outlets. And so, you know, we have what we offer. And you might get release through talking to other people. But if you want to talk about religious sexual abuse or release your inner bonobo, then the Dr. Susan Block Institute is where you should go.
And humans will answer the phone, so don't be shocked.
Well, yeah, we try to inject some real humanity into this very bot and drone-oriented world we live in.
Sarah, yeah.
So thanks for joining us. Yeah.
So wear a mask, get vaccinated. We got vaccinated and we're kind of in pain, but not so bad. you know, it's tough though. There's all these different strains out there. You know, support sex workers.
Yes,
okay. There's a lot
absolutely.
Of right-wing sex workers, partly because, as our guest last week, Hamilton Steele, said, it's because the left does not support sex workers. So, you know, sex workers sometimes go to the right. And it's sometimes because they're from Texas or Georgia or someplace like that where they're brought up with those values. But lefty people, don't you understand you can be allied with sex workers? And don't demonize it. Stop all that shit.
It's okay to go get have a happy ending and a happy ending to the day, to your life. To
there's a reason it's called happy.
Right because it's about pleasure, and it's pleasure that we all need.
We all do. Yeah. Some way, somehow. Yeah. Not always the same way,
even if it's not us, even if it's our skin that needs touch. Or
yeah.
You know,
some people aren't genital oriented. They're other parts of the body, or maybe not even the body. Maybe the voice, or maybe.
Yeah, the voice.
Other aspects of the mind.
The mind.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the mind.
But there's a sexuality. Even if you call yourself asexual, there's some form of eros that you need. And to deny that is to hurt yourself. And possibly wind up hurting others. So please heed our message here. And are we almost done?
Yeah, we're way done.
Okay.
We're 5 minutes done. It's soggy. The pasta is ruined.
All right.
And yeah, thanks. Take care.
We love you.
And yeah,
make you can, like bonobos, not baboons. Wear a mask. Now, bonobos don't wear a mask. Although can, they did get vaccinated in the zoo.
Yeah,
they did,
that's right. So cool.
You can listen and watch 24 hours a day free.
Oh, and by the way, right comrades. After this show, we are playing an amazing show
if you
that features Dr. David Lay, who talks to us about his book, The Myth of Sex Addiction. And the show is called From the Myth of Sex Addiction to a Sex Addict's Orgy. Because right after I talked to Dr. Lay, I had a bunch of other guests who were porn stars. I had Starry Night. I had Max Hardcore there. I had all kinds of hot, wild people. And some of them identified as sex addicts. They just... They said, yes, I am.
It's kind of cool.
Like I said, a lot of people like to use that term.
You got
to
have the right sneakers.
But in any case, we have an orgy. So, you know, that's what it is. From the Myth of Sex Addiction to a Sex Addict's Orgy, playing right after this show on drsusanblock.com/live and playing in perpetuity on drsusanblock.tv. And right now, it's free.
It's free.
Yes. So, we got to go. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Try not to hurt anybody, including yourself. And, yeah, make love to someone you love tonight. Even if that someone is you. I love you.
She loves you.
All of you.
She loves you.
Good night, everyone.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination. My world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on World Wide Web.